Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with DNZ reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. We drop fresh episodes every week and stay active on social media so your brand doesn't just get heard, it stays top of mind. Local, loyal, passionate. That's our audience. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd? Let's talk about how we increase your foot traffic and get people to visit your website. Email us today at faderoutemail@gmail.com or message us on our socials at faderoutepodcast on IG or slide in our DMs on X at faderoutednz so we can find the best package for you. Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with DNZ. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
Ayo.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight. The NBA Cup has reached the quarterfinals. Woo! World Cup groups have been selected, and there is college playoff controversy. But we'll begin today's show with,
oh no.
We have to talk about this before. We've talked about this before, but the Colts may not make the playoffs. Starting quarterback Daniel Jones, who had a fracture in his left leg, tore his right Achilles on Sunday, and is done for the rest of the year and most of next year. Backup Riley Leonard, Notre Dame's tried and true, he hurt his knee in relief of Jones, and he might not be able to play. Third stringer Anthony Richardson is going to stay on IR with a fractured orbital bone. Retired Philip Rivers tried out for the team last night, and apparently he is signed to the practice squad today. So, Z, is Philip Rivers the answer to the Colts issue?
Philip Rivers is the answer. What's the question? Like, that's my question at this point in time. Some numbers to review. It's not Philip Rivers' 421 career touchdowns. It's not Philip Rivers' 209 career interceptions. It's not Philip Rivers' career 64.9 percentage, right? His QBR of, completion percentage is 64.9. It's not his record of 134, 106, and 0. It's 44. Dude's our age. Dude's a little older than us. And he's going out there and he's strapping it up like Uncle Rico. And he's going to try and throw over them their mouth. So what you're saying to me, and please, by all means, stop me if this is not what you're saying to me, is that 44-year-old Philip Rivers, who last I checked was coaching high school football and was trying to sire a football team in and of itself. He already has 10 kids, right? Plus him, he already has an offensive side of the ball. He's half of an 11-on-11 drill. He's the answer over Riley Leonard. Yeah, I get Riley Leonard is hurt and is considered week to week, but you're telling me that that's your answer? A guy who has not played since 2020? You have Brett Rypien on the practice squad. Brett Rypien has won a game in the time that Philip Rivers has been retired. And Brett Rypien was at least playing. I remember he was on the Broncos after the whole Kendall Hinton nonsense. Right? Brett Rypien played for a majority of that season. It's absurd to me. How are teams going to exploit this? You know he's 44. You know he hasn't taken hits. You know that he's most likely a couple steps slower. His release is like just a little bit longer than it used to be. That's natural. And you have the Seahawks, the Niners, the Jaguars, and the Texans. That is what Philip Rivers signed up for. Three out of four of those. And Jacksonville isn't that bad. Jacksonville's not that bad.
Jacksonville.
So, you know, this is going to be a steady dose. A steady, steady dose of Jonathan Taylor. Hope for the best. The problem is that other teams know what's coming. And they're going to stack the box. They're going to dare old man Rivers to beat him.
Yeah. That's
what it is. And prediction pain. Like, I don't... Maybe at the rosiest, they can go 2-2. Mm-hmm. I can't go more than that. I can't. Not in good conscience.
Yeah, so, I mean, I got to assume that he's not going to play this weekend. I'd be really shocked if they made this guy start this weekend. My first call would have been to Andrew Luck. That's my first call. It's my first call. I was like, Andrew, man, I don't know what kind of shape you're in, but you have a chance to really make a history, make a comeback, you know, help us right now. You know, you're healthy. I know you're healthy. You're 36 years old. I just need you to turn around and hand the football off. That's all I need you to do. I'm not going to ask for anything more than that. We will run the ball every down except for third and long. That's what I would say. I don't think 44-year-old Philip Rivers is not the answer.
No.
Okay, it's just not. Apparently Ryan Tannehill is retired and doesn't want to play football anymore. Cool. That's fine.
Okay, who knew?
The only other person that I think I would sign is Taylor Heinicke. Because I believe he's a free agent. And again, it would be the same thing. Just Taylor, just don't throw the ball to the other team. Yeah. We are going to run and run. I'm going to use all my running backs, every running back we have. We're going to play defense and run the football.
That's it.
Score is going to be 16-13, 16-10. I need you to play action, and I need you to throw the ball on third and long. That's what I need you to do. I don't care if you stack the box. I don't care if it's second and 12. It is what it is. This is what I have to do. I just have to win. I just got to win two more games. I got to win two more games to be. And then after we win two games, then we'll figure it out. Maybe then Riley Leonard's better. I don't know. But I don't. Philip Rivers is not. He's not the answer. I think adrenaline will get him through a game.
Yeah.
But I mean, the first time he gets hit, put down, yeah, getting back up is going to be a problem, you know.
He's going to be regretting this decision.
And as good as, you know, I think Joe Flacco has been good, but even his arm got tired. He was slinging it. It all over the place, but his arm got tired. It's unbelievable because they have all these rules to protect quarterbacks, and he's still getting hurt. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I feel bad for what happened to Daniel Jones, but this is what happens when you're playing on a broken leg. And, you know, maybe this is something that the Colts should have thought about weeks ago. Maybe they just didn't think that. Actually, I don't know what they were thinking, because with Andrew Jones with a fractured fibula, you had to imagine, you know, he's one hit away from being out. Right.
Right.
And
right.
And Anthony Richardson is not coming in.
No.
And yeah, Riley Leonard could be the starter, but we're going to need to back him up with somebody. So maybe Ripien is the answer. But what a mess.
It fell apart so quickly in Indy. But I got to say, this falls at the feet of Shane Steichen as the head coach. You know that your quarterback.
What about the owner who's on the sideline for games?
Yeah.
She doesn't get any of the grief for this?
Unless she's pressuring Steichen to keep him in. Like, I don't see how, like, you know, I don't see how she could, like, unless she's pressuring him to keep him in because they're in the playoff hunt. Like, that's the only thing. The only way I could put some blame
on CJ Beathard is on the Detroit Lions practice squad.
Yeah, you can go get CJ Beathard. He's a competent backup. He's competent. Is Nick Mullins available still? Is Nick Mullins still in the league? He would be a fine backup.
You can't go with 44-year-old Phillip Rivers, who now...
Case motherfucking Keenum is still in the league.
Who now messes up his Hall of Fame eligibility because now he's coming back.
Right. And
that also messes things up.
And also, a little bit of what's messed up is Daniel Jones's free agency. Because this is only a one-year deal with Indy. So either they're going to bring him back to rehab him, they've seen enough. Like, they
Nick
believe
Mullins
he's
is
the
on
guy.
The court. Nick Mullins is on the Jags.
There you go.
No, you can't get him.
He's on the roster.
He's on the roster. He's not on practice squad. He's
damn
on
it.
The roster.
A guy like that would be perfect. Right? Even a guy like Tyson Bagent, I think he might be on the practice squad. I know Case Keenum's the backup to Caleb Williams.
I do feel bad for Daniel Jones.
I think he's done enough though that he's probably going to get. I think he's going to get paid by the Colts. I don't think they're going to let him leave. Now, as far as where they go from here, like maybe if Riley Leonard's healthy, he gets some extended burn. This buys Anthony Richardson a little bit longer of a leash, a little bit longer of a look in training camp next year. But I think the Colts think they have their guy. But this situation falls at the head coach. Like, you pressed your luck. You absolutely pressed your luck, thinking that your offensive line could protect him. You know that Daniel Jones likes to move. You know, and your offense is designed to get him out and moving. As much as you have him in the pocket, you want to get him out and moving because he has mobility. You're tempting fate. And when you were tempting fate, you always ran the risk that this shit was going to happen. And unfortunately for Steichen, unfortunately for Jones, unfortunately for the Colts, their hubris went and bit them in the ass.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
Well, sticking with football, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, and Patrick Mahomes all lost this weekend and all looked lackluster. Once deemed the future of the NFL, each quarterback has looked human this season. The Philly offense looks terrible. Lamar looks like he's lost a step, and Mahomes may not make the playoffs. I think they're in 10th place right now, even though seven teams get in. That's some crazy shit. So whose stock are you buying? Who are you selling? And who are you holding?
Oh, this is a tough question. This absolutely is a tough question, but... the rapid decline of the Chiefs needs to be studied, right? This is akin to
seven-year run.
Yeah,
seven years, three Super Bowl wins, two Super Bowl losses, AFC title games. I mean, what more could you ask for in this run?
But for it to come crashing down so abruptly, usually there's more of a steady decline. Like, the Eagles, it's not totally apples to apples because the Eagles were a worthy contender, but it's very much like Mike Tyson, Buster Douglas. Like, Mike Tyson got rocked, didn't know how to handle getting rocked, and now he's looking for his mouthpiece, and he was never the same again. Much like the Eagles rocked the fucking Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and they had no idea how to respond. The Chiefs like to play from ahead, but who doesn't, right? But the Chiefs especially like to play from ahead. And the Eagles went out and they punked them out. And that just carried on week one, week two. And the Chiefs eventually seemed to find their groove. But
3-7 against teams with winning records.
That's nope. And what's their record in one score games this year?
They haven't won any.
Exactly. So everything that went in their favor, every bit of the mojo that they had, just all of a sudden, like, just gone. Just completely eroded. You got Butker missing kicks. You got guys dropping balls in their hands.
Drops.
Rashi Rice, like, got hit by a truck. Like, that was like, Jesus Christ. Like, that, he got lit up. And
Kelsey's drops. Kelsey can't get open.
No, Kelsey looks like he lost a couple steps.
Hollywood Brown can't get separation. Kareem Hunt is their running back.
No. Like, that ain't it, man. It's been a decline. It's been a mess. But Lamar Jackson hasn't looked much better. But to be fair, Lamar Jackson had his team in position to win. It all breaks down to your interpretation of what a touchdown is and how many steps that was with Isaiah Likely.
The catches?
Yeah.
Like, 41 years old. I don't know what a catch is.
What do you think? Was that a touchdown for Likely? It wasn't called.
It's very close. It's very close, but I don't know what a catch is. I don't know what a catch is.
To me, that was 1 foot down when he caught the ball, second foot, touchdown. Like, that's what I saw.
What else does he need to do?
I don't know. Like, he's got
to,
like...
You need me to do a backflip, little jig, football move, even though I'm in the end zone?
Right.
What do you need me to do?
You know, it's like those... it's like the comedy skit with what roughing the passer is. You have to lay the quarterback down gently. You have to put a pillow under his head. You have to, like, tuck him in ever so slightly. But if you pull too tight on the sheets, it's a flag. Like, I don't know what more Isaiah Likely could have done, considering the fact that the Steelers defender ripped it out of his hands. Like, that to me, that's a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm in the end zone already. I caught the ball.
I'm done. It's over. I broke the plane. Over. That's game. That's it.
It's over.
So, like, and then you get to Jalen Hurts' performance, which was, oh, it was dog shit. Absolute freaking dog shit.
I don't understand.
He lost two fumbles on the same play. That's bad. What, he had four picks last night? I think four, three, something like that. You know, it's the Eagles. The Eagles read their own press clippings. They hear what people are saying about them, and they try and get too cute, and they try and rub it in their faces. Like the whole A.J. Brown thing. Now all of a sudden we're going to start feeding them. You know, Eagles offense isn't conservative enough, is too conservative, and all of a sudden Jalen Hurts is taking these shots down the field that he shouldn't be taking. Like, Jalen Hurts is, where the fuck are you throwing the ball, man? Where in God's name are you throwing that? The only reason why you're in overtime is because Saquon motherfucking Barkley. Like, that's the only reason why. Because you ran the damn... You rediscovered your identity, and then you pissed it away in overtime.
So they were still in position to score.
Yeah,
they were. At the very least, tie the game.
They were. And then, an ill-advised throw. Chargers call game. The Chargers are, you know, waking up from their nap at just the right time. But, you know, I know he lost, but I'm buying Lamar. Like, I still feel like that was a touchdown, and the Ravens should have won that game. I'm holding Mahomes reluctantly because I think he may have one more in him. And, like, I'm out on Jalen Hurts right now. Like, Jalen Hurts, that was rough. It's been a rough year for him. It's been nothing exciting. It's been drama-filled. And yeah, it's just like that's way too sloppy, and that's way too many turnovers. That's Tua level in terms of turnovers, and we were dogging Tua for that too. So I'm out on Jalen Hurts right now.
Yeah, I just don't know what he's seeing out there. It's just so strange because I know what he's capable of. I mean, I saw this man, like, single-handedly almost win the Super Bowl for the Philadelphia Eagles when they played the Chiefs the first time around. Like, he accounted for all their touchdowns, including one of the Chiefs' touchdowns because he fumbled the ball on one play. You know, and then with Patrick Mahomes, he had three picks, and it's just that his guys aren't getting open. They're not getting open, but he's not making it any better because he's trying to improvise and he's not hitting his back step and letting it rip. He just needs to let it rip. Whatever happens, happens, man. He did a little bit of that last night, but I just, when it's over, it's over, and it definitely seems like this reign is over. Right?
Yes.
Because it seems like, I think Kelsey's gone. Both of those, Hunt and Pacheco, are not the answer at running back. Those receivers are not getting open. Rashee Rice doesn't seem like he could be a true one. Seems like he's probably a better as a two. Hollywood Brown, Worthy has not turned out the way they thought he would be. It's almost like maybe Mahomes does need like an ace, a top flight receiver like a Tariq Hill. type, right? So, I mean, he can still throw the ball. He doesn't make all the best decisions, but you know, it kind of reminds me of what happened at the end of Andy Reid's time in Philly, right? Where Freddie Mitchell, I think, was the number one receiver for Don McNabb and company. Like, that's his guy, you know. And it's just like, that's not going to... I think Chad Lewis was a tight end, but it's like, this isn't going to win Super Bowls, man. Like, we can only go so far like this. But I got to say, Z, I mean, if Buffalo doesn't win this year...
When?
If not, then when? Burrow's gone. Mahomes is gone. Who's the other guy that's out? Burrow... Mahomes, and there's one other AFC guy that's down and out. Lamar's out. They're gone. They're not making the playoffs. So wait, you're gonna let the Jaguars get in? You're gonna let the Pittsburgh Steelers beat you with Aaron Rodgers? You're not gonna let Justin Herbert and the Chargers beat you, are you? Man, if they don't win this year, it ain't never gonna happen. And they've got to really look around at themselves in that locker room. And everybody's got to tell themselves that. Guys, it's either now or never. Because we are the cream of the crop compared to everybody else here. Nobody else that's left has gone through what we've gone through. Losing AFC title games. You know, losing to Burrow. Losing to Mahomes. Like, all those guys are gone. You got to go in there and take care of business. And so, you know, for that matter, I mean, I'm going to differ from you a little bit. In that I'm gonna hold on Mahomes, holding on him. I'm selling Lamar because it just doesn't look right. It's just off. He doesn't. I don't know if it's because he's not healthy or what, but he's looking like second year Lamar, I'm thinking about first year Lamar where he couldn't complete passes. Like, he's lost the luster. You know, it's like I think he's peaked, Z. I think he's peaked. I think he peaked 2 years ago. I don't think we're getting MVP quality out of Lamar for a full 17-game season ever again. They're wasting the years with Derrick Henry. This year is wasted now. You know, they're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to win anything. Another year, Derrick Henry gets a little older, and I think he's actually a free agent next year. So... I'm selling on Lamar. That's another situation where the receivers aren't any good. Zay Flowers is their number one receiver. Who? Exactly. So, yeah, I'm selling Lamar. I'm holding on Mahomes. And believe it or not, I'm buying Jalen Hurts because I know what he's capable of. I've seen it. I've seen him elude tackles, do runs. He does the tush push. I've seen him make beautiful passes. I've seen it. I don't know why it's not happening this year. I don't know if it's play calling. I don't know what he's seeing out there. But Devonta Smith gets no love
yesterday.
Before
you keep going, the tush push, it went from an 81% effectiveness last year to a 67% effectiveness this year. So that's as much on the offensive line.
But not all those guys are in, right? Lane Johnson's not there. Mekhi Becton's gone.
Nope.
I believe he's a Charger.
Jason Kelce retired.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Jordan Mailata's the only guy who's still there.
Right, and he keeps getting beat. He keeps getting beat on passes.
on the pass rush. So
there's something to be said about that. The same way that the decline of the Chiefs, you have to take into account that the offense, you have to figure that the tush push has kind of broken these guys down a little bit. Like, maybe. Yeah, I know it's hard to officiate, and there's no documentation of injury. But just to see how much the Eagles have fallen off with the frequency and the success rate of the tush push last year versus now, there is something to that. Like, it is something that needs to be studied, and maybe that's the angle that the competition committee is going to use to ultimately get rid of the tush push.
I think really it comes down to their running game. The Eagles' running game isn't really that good, you know, basically because they don't have their best offensive lineman anymore. Their passing game, I don't know what's happening, because even A.J. Brown is dropping passes. He's dropping passes. Devonta Smith's getting open. They're not getting the ball. It's very odd. It's very strange. I don't know what to make it, but I'm not giving up on Jalen Hurts. I still think they're really, I think he's got a lot of talent, even from his college days. I think he's a phenomenal player. He beat Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. So I'm buying his stock.
Elevate your protein game with Clear Whey Protein Powder. Lactose-free, sugar-free, and refreshingly delicious. Perfect for a flavorful, protein-packed boost. That's Clear with a K. Go to clearprotein.com, enter promo code DNZ for 20% off any product. That's clearprotein.com. Clear with a K.
So from pro ball to college ball and the mess that is the college football playoff, it is set. In a controversial move, 3-loss Alabama is in ahead of 2-loss Notre Dame. And so is the Miami Hurricanes. The Fighting Irish have taken the omission personally and removed their name from bowl game consideration. So which do you have a bigger issue with? 3-loss Alabama getting into the playoffs or Notre Dame declining a bowl invitation?
Not to mention you have 2-loss Tulane in there. So that's huge for the Green Wave. Good for them. Like, where the hell, where'd they come from this year? So good on Tulane. James Madison is in, you know. Well, it's more about the 3-loss Bama, because they wanted to take another SEC team. They were trying to angle for an ACC team, and that's how they ended up with Miami. The problem where Notre Dame gets hurt is if Miami is in, if we're going head-to-head, Notre Dame lost head-to-head to Miami. So, like, that kind of dings their chances.
But then why was Notre Dame ahead of Miami in the rankings all season?
That's a fair question, because when you look at how did they jump them?
Nobody played.
When you look at Notre Dame's schedule, they also didn't beat anybody.
Who? Miami?
Notre Dame.
Oh.
Like, you look at that, they beat Syracuse 70-7. I'm pretty sure the Spelman Falcons could probably go beat Syracuse 70-7. Like, they put a whooping on them. And for what? Like, this is the problem, and this is the issue Notre Dame has, right? As an independent, one of two independents in Division I football. The other one's UConn. So that's all you need to know, right? It's them and UConn. That's the independent.
Great company.
Fantastic. Wonderful. Dan Orlovsky, pride of UConn, Dan Orlovsky. Still doesn't know how long an end zone is. But you play footsie with the conference, right? In basketball, they're an ACC school. If this is not the impetus to join a conference, I don't know what is. The committee was looking for an ACC school. They were begging for an ACC school. All you have to do is humble yourself and join a conference. And now, in this new negotiation, moving forward, they're getting an automatic bid.
Right, next year they get it. Right.
Which is ridiculous. You know, I think the
next year will be 16 teams too. Also.
Right. So they'll get an automatic bid. I think it's time for the NCAA and Notre Dame fans aren't going to like this, but it's time for the NCAA to hold their feet to the fire and force them to join a conference. Mm. Same thing. You have to force UConn to join a conference. You have to be affiliated with somebody. You have to. Like, why are you, Michael Wilbon called it playing footsie. And I have to agree, because you're in on every other sport but football. You're in the ACC with baseball. You're in the ACC with field hockey. You're in the ACC with basketball. But football, nah, it's a bridge too far. Nah, no. So, is the reaction petulant on Notre Dame's part? Is it a little bit of taking their ball and go home? Yes, absolutely. It is. Because at the end of the day, Alabama, even three losses, SEC, the quality of wins and the quality of losses, they are in a different stratosphere. Right? And then head-to-head, you lost to Miami. So those are your two legs. Those are the legs to stand on. So,
should they play in the bowl game?
Well, if they do, right? Let's say that they do. What's gonna stop the players from not playing? Right? We've seen that nowadays, right? All the NIL recruits, the top guys are like, yeah, I'm not gonna play. I'm gonna protect my draft status. So yeah, the jerseys will be there, right? But will the players actually be there?
Well, the bowl game is your chance to highlight your talents.
Right? Yeah, but how many guys say fuck that?
I don't know.
We see it all the time now.
I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm just asking the question. Because if I'm Notre Dame, I'm Notre Dame. I don't need the money. I don't need the notoriety. I don't need to play in the Pop-Tarts bowl game.
Okay.
I don't fucking need it. I don't need it. And just like you're saying, like, if I'm one of those players that is maybe contemplating going to the draft, I don't need to play in this game. Or maybe I'm transferring. Wait, what does this game do for me? It's not a championship game.
You're gonna get hurt.
This is nothing. What am I playing in this game for? Like, the college playoff is what I was ascending to. And that's been taken away from me. So right. I don't care about it. Now, as far as three-loss Alabama getting in, it's garbage. It's garbage. It's absolute garbage. Like, I don't want to see them play anymore. I've seen them. I've seen them enough. I don't want to see them play. Because, to be honest with you, they have an easy chance to get to the semifinals, because if they win, they're playing Oklahoma. They could beat Oklahoma. Then they're going to play a rested Indiana team, and we've seen that the teams on the bye usually lose.
They're going to lose.
So now they lose. So Alabama gets to the finals. Well, they'll play most likely Texas Tech or Oregon. And if everything holds out where the bye teams all lose, they'll play Oregon. So you got Alabama and Oregon. Total mismatch. Or Alabama moves on. So Alabama gets to the national title game. And guess what? On the other side, they'll have to fucking play Georgia again. And that's what I don't want to see. I don't want to see that garbage.
We saw that already.
I don't need to see that again. That's why this thing is so fucking broken. And I just don't care. This is what happens when you have all these teams. And they're trying to create a March Madness type thing, and you just can't do it in football. Just go back to having four teams, and the four they get in or the four they get in, whatever. Like, the other thing about, just want to touch on Notre Dame, I know I touched on it a few minutes ago, but I feel the same way about it. If you were going to let Miami in, then Miami should have been ranked ahead of them the whole time. That's your fuck up. What took place on a weekend where neither of them played that would allow Miami to jump over Notre Dame? And honestly, I don't want to see either of them in the fucking playoff. I don't need to see any of these teams. Honestly, you talked about Tulane. I don't need to see Tulane. I don't need to see Miami. I don't need to see James Madison. I don't need to see any of this shit. I'm not tuning in until they get to the finals. And if Alabama's playing Georgia again, I'm not watching that garbage. I watched them get manhandled. It wasn't a game. It wasn't competitive. It didn't matter. And that's what this thing is. It's like none of this matters. You have a college football playoff now. The bowl games don't matter anymore. They don't matter. It doesn't have any value whatsoever. You know, unless you want to make the bowl games part of the playoff. I guess you could do that. But for me, if I'm Notre Dame, bowl games is for chump change. Bowl games is for James Madison University. Bowl games is for Tulane. Bowl games is for Florida Atlantic. Bowl games is for the UCF. That's who bowl games are for. I don't even see Texas here. Trash. Just trash.
You mean the preseason number one?
Right.
Yeah. So with that, if you're looking at quality, if you're looking at the losses, you're looking at, for Notre Dame, they lost to Miami and they lost to A&M. Back-to-back weeks. So the first 2 weeks of the season. Bama loses to Oklahoma, who they're playing now, Georgia in the SEC title game, and then week one against Florida State, which is the outlier one. So if the committee is taking that into consideration, then that's got to be the only thing that's taking them out, because they went on a 10-game winning streak. Notre Dame was on a 10-game winning streak. There's something to be said about that, but I don't know what the criteria was other than they were looking for an ACC team and they were looking for a representative in that conference. And sure as hell wasn't going to be Clemson. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you're looking at it, it's weird. Like the tradition of the bowl games, like they are now quarterfinals in this tournament. Like the Orange Bowl used to be like this big thing, right? It used to be like a standalone event. The Rose Bowl, like they are standalone events. The Peach Bowl. These are like the standards of college football, and now they're kind of also ran events as part of this, as part of this playoff. And, you know, they're chasing the dollar. This is what's going on. Like this is, they're trying to get the piece of that pie, like March Madness, and ultimately they're consuming their own tradition to make that happen.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. AirCare Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact AirCare Technicians for a free quote. They offer same-day and emergency services for all of your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1547. Air Care Technicians, 914-315-1547. Well, moving over to basketball, I know you're excited. It's the NBA Cup, baby. We reached the quarterfinals. Woo! Woo!
Let's go!
Woo! So I guess we should talk about it. They want us to talk about it, so we'll talk about it. We got seven teams because Orlando beat the Heat. So we got seven teams, four matchups, one champion. Who cares?
Moving on. Next one. All right. Yep. But yeah, like this might be, you're looking at Raptors, Knicks. They're tied at 11 right now. And the other side of the bracket, you have Thunder Suns. And then Lakers, Spurs.
The 21-1 Thunder.
Right. So could this be the first time ever that you have the champion also win the NBA Cup?
Well, that's what it is. That's all this is going to become. Here? But that's all this is going to become. This is just going to become like a trivia question. Like, oh, what was the first team to win the NBA Cup and the championship in back-to-back seasons?
The 2025-2026.
That's all this is going to become. I mean, what kind of competition is this? And it's in the NBA, right, is supposed to be like a series, right? They do series in their playoffs. It's not like college where it's
where it's a round robin tournament, and you know, one, you know, you could just be hot one day, and then that's
there's
it.
No selection committee telling people the, you know, where to go.
I mean, we could just chalk this, right? I mean, the Knicks are going to win. I would assume the Magic win, and then on the other side, I would assume the Thunder wipe the floor with the Suns,
and the Lakers. I
would assume the Lakers beat the Spurs, and then I would assume the Thunder wipe the floor with the Lakers. And the Thunder beat the Magic in the Cup. Done. I'd be shocked if it ended any other way.
Well, that one's a toss-up. Whoever comes out of that second bracket, I mean, that's going to be a closer game. Knicks,
oh, you're
Magic.
Talking about the Knicks and Magic?
Yeah, whoever.
Yeah,
won.
Yeah. I'll give you that. But whoever comes out of that other bracket is not beating the Thunder.
No.
Because the Thunder haven't fucking lost all year. They've
right.
lost one time.
One game.
They're not
one
going
time.
To lose where this kind of sort of matters. Right? They're the NBA champions. Like, yeah, sure, I guess we can pony up for this game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they haven't lost all year. Why would this... I just don't... This is, what, the third year they're doing this garbage? Or the second year they're doing this garbage?
It's not like Champions League and domestic leagues. It's not like where teams that are involved in the Champions League will sometimes play a lesser lineup because they know they have a Premier League match coming up. Like, that's not the case. Like that here, like it's within the context of the season. It was a weird format from the jump. You have these stupid courts that you put on there that are apparently unplayable in some cases.
Some situations.
In some cases, they're absolutely fucking unplayable. And all of this is for what? It's an audience of one. It's an audience of Adam Silver. Like, that's it. Who is clamoring for this? Who said, get me this? Who wanted this? Who asked for it? I don't remember. I was not consulted. Were you?
Not I.
Would have told them no. Would have told them it's dumb. Shorten the season. Eliminate back-to-backs.
Like you said, like, I mean, you work in a high school. Yeah. I know it's a girls' school, but is anybody talking about the NBA Cup? I mean, I work for an ad agency. Nobody talking about the NBA Cup. Who's talking about the NBA Cup?
Nah, you know, they talk. I've heard more about Ronaldo versus Messi than the NBA Cup. Like that's where we are as a sports society at my school. Like they don't give two shits about the NBA. You don't give two. They barely give a shit about the WNBA. Some of them will talk about the WNBA, but more often than not, the sports are not the jam. It's just not it. But of the kids that are sports fans, it ain't the NBA. It's not the NBA at all. I've heard more about the MLS than the NBA. And that's saying something.
MLS or the World Cup?
Both. Because the MLS Cup just happened. It happened on Saturday. So I've heard more people talking about MLS at my job than the NBA. And
MLS
is like a distant fifth.
I just don't know how they put weight behind this. I don't know how it becomes like sellable. I don't, you know, like what? Why would I watch it? What am I watching? Why? Why? Because of the courts? Because of the uniforms? Because what they care, they're going to care about this particular game over other games, and I'm pretty sure the last game gets played in Vegas, right? Like it's a neutral site too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I would be shocked if the Thunder don't win this whole thing, especially when you're talking about it's one game. Yeah, I mean, for one game, yeah, they're gonna be their best version of themselves. So.
No, it makes absolutely no sense from a viewership standpoint. And again, what are the stakes? What's in it for them?
Right.
Just the money? Like, how is that different than any other game? How is that different from the stakes you tried to put on the All-Star game? And look at how well that's gone. It's a gimmick. It's just another gimmick.
And look at how well that's gone.
And look at how well that's gone. Who talks about the NBA All-Star game other than when the Spurs intentionally got themselves disqualified?
Yeah.
From the skills competition. Like, that was the highlight of the All-Star game. So, It continues to be an unwatchable product, and it continues to be a tone-deaf product for people who have no idea what people want. More Labs Morning Recovery is the number one alcohol recovery supplement that helps you wake up clear-headed and refreshed. Clinically proven and trusted by thousands, with 20 million plus bottles sold and a 4.9 star rating, it works. Try it risk-free. Enjoy an exclusive 25% off discount on any product using our promo code DNZ at morelabs.com. That's 25% off using the promo code DNZ. Morelabs.com.
Well, moving on to something more people want and more people give a shit about. And
let's go. World Cup.
Group selections were made last week, and since the games are being hosted in North America, the U.S. is in. They are the host country. They are in a fairly easy group with Australia and Paraguay. How do you like their group, and is there a group of death this year?
Market right now, the U.S. doesn't make it out of qualifying. They don't make it out of the group stage.
Oh, geez. Who, Paraguay, is going to beat their ass?
So, I have
got
Australia.
Paraguay making it out?
Nope. Oh, I have Australia. I have Australia, and I have the winner of playoff C, who's going to be Turkey. Turkey is a damn fine team. So, they're very skilled, and they actually made a pretty good run in last World Cup. So, they also are perennial, right, in the European tournaments and the Asian tournaments. They're a formidable team, and I think the U.S. will have trouble, mostly because the U.S. has no identity. The U.S. gets athletes, they don't get soccer players. And at the end of the day, soccer players win soccer games. That's how this works, right? Look at Lionel Messi. Lionel Messi is not the best athlete in the world. Motherfucker can play soccer. Cristiano Ronaldo, not the best athlete, right? Motherfucker can play soccer. Like, other countries, like, craft and hone soccer players from an early age, right? And it comes out of, it doesn't come out of the academy. It'll come out of the street. It'll come out of this grassroots effort. There is no grassroots in America. It's pay to play from age, what, 4? All the way up. You want to play soccer in this country, you got to pay. Whether it's at a fancy academy or if it's like a rec league like ASO. You got to pay. You absolutely have to pay. As far as the group of death goes, give me group L. So that's England, that's Croatia, that's Ghana, Panama. This is a division. This is a group that is going to provide England with some challenge. Not only because they're highly skilled, but also a team like Ghana, they can play physically in the heat and humidity of an American summer. And temperature-wise, I don't know if some of these European nations can handle heat and humidity that you will experience in America. Having gone to Club World Cup, having gone to some international friendlies, these players were wilting, man. Even like,
well, it depends on where the games are going to be played, right? Because is Atlanta, when they play in Atlanta,
they're
is
in a dome.
They're going to be in a dome, right? They're going to have it closed, right? So climate controlled.
Look at Argentina. Argentina gets Kansas City and Dallas. Yes, you have the swamps of Jersey. You have Gillette.
Swamps of Jersey.
You have Gillette. Now on the West Coast, you have Seattle and you have LA. They're playing in SoFi, which is nice. Now the good thing is that all of the turf stadiums are going to be resodded with grass. So you don't have to worry. Yeah, so you don't have to worry about any freak ACL injuries. But Brazil's drawing Morocco. That's going to be tough, but Haiti and Scotland don't do anything for me. I find that the Argentina draw, it's pretty straightforward. You got Austria, You have Algeria. You have Jordan. That's a freaking cakewalk. That is a cakewalk in Group J. So Japan and Netherlands, Tunisia, that's a pretty good one. But overall, when you're looking at the quality, I keep going back to Group L. And I think that it's going to be a struggle for England, but I think that they will win the group. But it's going to be a dogfight. It is going to be a fight coming out of that one. And the attrition may just be what they need to finally bring it back home.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, I do think the U.S. will make it out of the group stage. It would be really, really disappointing if they didn't. I mean, this would be such a letdown.
Of the three countries, they're the weakest one, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta get out of this group stage, though. I want to believe that they'll get out of the group stage. As far as a group of death, I don't know if there really is one. I'll agree with you that Group L is a tough one with England, Croatia, Ghana, and Panama. But I still would think England is the best team. I don't think it's arguable. Like, they're the best team in that group. I want to say maybe Group K because we have Portugal and Colombia. But again, I would tip my hat to Portugal on that one. Like, I don't see a real group of death. I guess if if Italy was to win the playoff, Canada, Italy, Switzerland, Qatar.
It's still too top heavy with Canada and Italy.
Italy is not that good. They're not. And you'd probably say Canada's the best team, right? I mean,
I would say Canada
Switzerland. Switzerland might be the best team.
If Shaqiri plays, Jordan Shaqiri is really good. You have a few guys you have a few Swiss nationals that are really solid players. So you also have to take into account with the expanded format, 8 select third place teams are moving ahead too. So that's becoming even more of an issue. So even with the group of death, right? Even with L, 3 teams can actually come out of L, right? 3 teams could come out of J. So it remains to be seen, but traditional powers are going to get chased down by some of these teams. You know, Ivory Coast is on the come. Turkey, if they get in, most likely they will. You know, Ghana, Japan. Japan is technically sound as anybody. So this is going to be a very interesting World Cup from the standpoint of the expansion. Like, adding those extra teams, I think it's going to put some countries on their heels, because you have these hungry nations who haven't been there in a while. And they're going to try and make their name. They're going to try and make their bones this World Cup.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. Popstarsballoons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the Popstars Balloon team shape balloons into custom works of art. Popstar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. Popstar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. Popstars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. Popstars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, Popstars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, Popstars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit popstarballoons.com to pop your next event.
Fair or foul, judging the more messed up stories of the week. All right, boys and girls, we have some statements, and they're either fair or foul. Fair or foul, number one. Jeff Kent elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame. That one's just for you, man. Have at it.
Yeah.
go ahead.
Oh, man. Well, you know, it was nice to see him have some sentiment. He talked about his son, you know, kind of chasing him. His son is, I guess, in the minors right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his son was always saying, well, Dad, you're not a Hall of Famer. You know, I could still possibly be better than you one day. and I think, you know, he jokingly put that to bed. But it was nice to see him get sentimental about his son. You know, I'd never seen Jeff Kent really show any feelings. Most home runs all time by a second baseman. No championships. No MVPs. We let everybody in.
Oh, man.
I'm going to say it's foul. I don't really care about his... And he's a shit person, I feel like. He's a shit human. I don't really care for Jeff Kent. And he was actually one of my favorite players growing up. Like, he was one of my favorite second basemen growing up, but he was just a jerk. Like, he just... I guess none of that really matters. He was a good ball player, but... Come on, Jeff Kent, you and Barry Bonds and that loaded Giants team couldn't beat the Anaheim Angels? Come on, man. No. You're out.
It's foul. If this was the Asshole Hall of Fame, then Jeff Kent would be in there. Albert Bell would have already been in there, too. As far as I'm concerned, Albert Bell is a guy that needs to be revisited. They need to go back and look at Albert Bell's career, because... That guy deserves some consideration.
But from what I understand, this ballot or this vote is by the players, right?
Yes. Well, it's the, you know, modern era committee. So Don Mattingly was on there, Clemens was on there, Bonds was on there, Dale Murphy was on there.
They're on the ballot, but who's voting?
I believe it's still the media. I believe it's still baseball writers.
Oh,
it's still
the
baseball
media?
Writers.
Then you're out, dude. You're fucking out.
Or maybe the Hall of Famers themselves. It might just be the committee of the Hall of Famers themselves. Carlos Delgado was on there. I think Carlos Delgado finished second on the ballot. You needed 12 to get. You needed 12 votes to get elected. Man. So that's what we're looking at here. 377 career homers, career batting average of .290. Fine. Won an MVP. He did win an MVP. He has one MVP.
Right.
So that kind of that.
All right, I guess
it a little bit.
I guess it is fair. You got an MVP award, most home runs all time as a second baseman,
4-time Silver Slugger, 5-time All Star. I mean, it's not as great as some of the other.
.290 batting average is pretty decent.
It was pretty good. Like a Hall of Very Good. Like we talk about the Hall of Very Good. He's the Very Good. Again, if this was the Asshole Hall of Fame, he would have been in years ago. But yeah, I can understand why he would come off the ballot. I understand why. Because it's just like, okay. And he played in the steroid era where guys routinely were like having phenomenal seasons, right? Some aided by certain substances. We're not going to lie here. But for what his reputation is, seemed to be a clean player. Right? We never came up in the Mitchell Report. No, like not even a sniff
of PED.
Just a jackass.
Just a general like malcontent, and that's fine. Like, you know, they made Jim Rice wait. They made him wait. So eventually Jim Rice got in. So it's fine. It's fine. If, you know, at this point, it's fine. There's not much more you could do to me or you at this point. Like, we have made our positions clear about Hall of Famers and who a Hall of Famer is. Jeff Kent wouldn't be on my list. Let's just put it that way. Probably he's not on my Christmas card list either, but I don't expect one from Jeff Kent. Fair or foul number two, the Spurs should speed up the rebuild with injury-prone Wemby.
Yeah. You know, it's sad, but I think it's true. You know, this isn't a guy that's going to play like 20 years. You know, I think he's got 10, maybe 8, you know, good years. It's just, you know, we're seeing it now. He's just hurt. I think now he's dealing with a calf issue.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that, you know, whatever you're going to do, do it soon. Don't necessarily build around him. Build a team to try to get as many championships within the next, you know, 3 to 4 years and plan on him being around for 7 or 8. I think it's fair.
I think it's fair too, but you have De'Aaron Fox, you have Stephen Castle, you have Champagny, you have players here, right? You have Sochan, Vassell. You have a young core beyond Wembanyama. Now, if you decide you want to speed this up a little bit, right? If you want to speed this up to try and take advantage of his limited prime before he eventually, like, you know, gets hurt and has to bow out of the league, who are you getting? You're not getting Giannis right now. But
why? Why not? That's the route I would go. I'd like to have both of them on the court.
What's giving me pause is the fact that he's out with a calf strain, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Calf strain. You take your sweet time with that. You have fun with that, because I'm not watching you pop your Achilles. I've seen that enough with Tyrese Haliburton. But I don't want to see that again. And I don't want to give up Castle and Sochan and Champagny and draft picks for you to pop your friggin' Achilles.
Mm.
I don't want that. As a GM, I'm being very cautious with that. Now, who would be available? Like, maybe whoever, like, maybe the Warriors would move on from a Draymond Green or a Jimmy Butler. Like, maybe they would do that, but that seems a little far-fetched. You know, could the Knicks sour on Karl Anthony Towns? They're playing well. I don't think that they would. I don't think
what about
that they
Ja? Would want.
That's interesting. What would it take to get him? Because I think that he needs to get out of Memphis. So that could be something interesting. You put him, Wemby, and Fox together. That sounds pretty good. That sounds like a good triumvirate.
They have a history of dealing with players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Players are usually treated really well there, and they play well there. They get it.
Yeah, I think that that could work. If you're going to, I think it's fair that you explore it, but don't be so quick to make a trade on name recognition, especially with like what we found out about Giannis, because you don't want to be left holding the bag, or in this case, you don't want to be left holding his Achilles when these other guys start blossoming. And then what happens? You're still 2 years away from being 2 years away and talking about the promise of Victor Wembanyama. So give it a second. Huh. You could always call the Clippers about maybe getting Kawhi back. There's an idea.
Geez.
Yeah, why not? Let's get.
What's the deal with that guy, man? What's his legacy going to be? What is that going to be?
The ultimate case in load management?
What are we going to talk about when we talk about that guy?
His Toronto.
It's so strange. Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about going from the highest of highs, but what's his deal? Like, I just...
He's an interesting guy. I think that, you know, he loves that he likes basketball. He absolutely does like basketball. He enjoys playing at a high level. I think his body has betrayed him, like, with his knees and his back, for that matter. But everybody just bent over backwards and put this guy in fucking bubble wrap. And it really, he set the precedent for what the modern NBA is with fucking load management and no back-to-backs and none of this stuff. So I think that might be the legacy, almost akin to Tommy John having the surgery. Like, it's, you know, it's kind of one of those type deals. But yeah, like, it's a complicated thing because Kawhi, when he played, Kawhi Leonard was one of the best defenders in the league, and he could score, man. He was a complete player. He took Toronto to the mountaintop. So, like, there's something to be said about that. Like, he got out of the Spurs system and went and did something, but then his body betrayed him. So, it's complicated. It's complicated when it comes to Kawhi. Fair or foul number three, the Dodgers got a bargain by signing Edwin Diaz.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a bargain. I'm just surprised that the Mets didn't match it, if that's all he really wanted. Also surprised the Yankees didn't get in on it. But to me, it sounds like the Mets weren't interested. It also might have been just a done deal where he was going to Los Angeles regardless. I mean, you know, there's some talk that he didn't like what was going on in the locker room, apparently between, like, McNeil and Lindor and then Soto. But, I mean, who knows how true all that stuff is. So what is it, 3 years, $68 million, right?
3 years, $69 million, and 13 of it is deferred.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a deal for what he does. I mean, he's a good closer. He ain't a great closer. He's a good closer. But, yeah, I'd say it's fair.
I'd say it's fair, too. Also, you have to take into consideration that the Mets effectively signed his replacement, 3 years, $51 million, in Devin Williams.
Right. It's almost like, that's what I'm trying to say. It's like, the writing was on the wall. It was almost, you know, apparently... The reports are that the Mets offered him $1 million or less per year, and he went with the Dodger offer. If that's the truth, then the Mets really didn't want him because they would have just gave him what he wanted.
Number one, that's true.
I just don't think this Devin Williams thing is a good idea, man. I don't think it's good.
I like it less knowing that Diaz is off the board, and, you know, I hate to say it. I said it a month ago. I called my shot. I said Diaz would be a Dodger. And nailed that shit. Nailed it.
Now he's got to get see if Rendon becomes a Dodger.
Anthony Rendon's going to win the fucking MVP next year. Just watch. Saying I'm a bitch. No, I'm saying you're MVP. You misunderstood me. So, 6-3, 1.31 ERA, 32 saves. Pretty good. That's what you're getting in Mr. Diaz if you're the Dodgers. Only $4.5 million per year deferred. So $13.5 million deferred on the back end. They got a deal. It's fair, man. For the best closer, the best relief pitcher on the market. That's a pretty good deal, and only 3 years. He's going into his age 32 season, so that further lengthens your bullpen with Trinan. If you want to keep Sasaki in there, although Sasaki's probably going to go back in the rotation, although, you know, I would seriously consider keeping Sasaki in the bullpen because he was dominant. He was lights out in that role. You have Vesia coming back. Like, okay, the Dodgers have addressed their bullpen issue. They have absolutely addressed their bullpen issue. And it just speaks to a bigger thing with the Mets, right? okay, a million per year less. All right, fine. But a million per year less to go to the Dodgers, the back-to-back champs. You know, that's even more. That's telling me, that tells me as a Met fan, that Edwin Diaz does not believe this organization is serious about winning. You deal off Nimmo. You're playing, I don't know what game you're playing with Pete Alonso. David Stern's saying, oh, we know him. He knows us. I know Pete's here. I don't think we need to have a meeting. I don't think we need to have a meeting. Like, he knows us, but yeah, he knows you're a cheap bastard. Like, that's what Pete knows about you. That's what he knows. He knows that if he's still available in February before pitchers and catchers report, he can get a contract from you. That's what Pete Alonso knows about David Stearns. You settled for Devin Williams, which means your familiarity with him trumped performance. Do you think this pitching lab is so good that it's going to turn 479 Devin Williams back into the airbender? I don't know if your pitching lab is 3 runs off your ERA. I don't know if it's that good. But if you're a Met fan, you cannot be happy about this. You cannot be confident. Yeah, he'll sign depth players. He'll sign quadruple-A ball players. He'll sign guys from Japan, guys who had, guys who had reclamation careers in Japan. And then that's all well and good, right? That is all well and good. But David Stearns doesn't pay for top-end starting pitching. That he's already trying, that they're already laying the groundwork for missing out on Framber Valdez and Ranger Suarez. We don't really go into that deep of a water. We got McClain, we have Sproat, we have Tong. That's fine. It's starting to sound like Brian Cashman. Starting to sound like Brian Cashman a little bit. He doesn't pay for power. He doesn't pay for top of the rotation arms. But who does he pay for then? Who is David Stearns going to pay for? Who? Devin Williams on a down year? Awesome. Great. Frankie Montas. Right. Frankie Montas. AJ Minter for 2 years. Okay. I see. I understand. It's going to be a long winter in Queens if they do not address the fundamental flaws of this team. Last year, it was the starting rotation and the hitting. Dealing off Nimmo to bring in Marcus Semien because of the defensive metrics, you're already off to a bad start. You added 3 years. Yes, he's cheaper, but Semien's 3 years older. It's quizzical. It's quizzical. And it makes you wonder what is going to happen moving forward.
Outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today, fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the alleged superstar of the week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this year's show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
That would be one Mr. Max Brosmer.
Oh, I got one.
Ooh. Ooh. Not since the Peter Man have we seen such a terrible, terrible.
Don't throw it.
Fuck.
Just take the sack.
And then JJ comes in and whoops that ass for he whoops that commie ass.
Oh my
gosh. It was I hope you enjoyed your fleeting NFL career, Max. I hope you enjoyed. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Legend Superstar of the Week?
All right, so first up, I have the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Man, just playing on Monday Night Football. Not a game you need, but a game you should have. Well-rested, ready to play. You go for 21 for 40 for 240 yards and 4 interceptions. Four. I think there was even a fumble on another play.
Two.
Just god awful. It's not that hard. Do better. Just do better. Jalen Hurts, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, sticking with quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson. What happened to you, man? You were supposed to be the future of this league. You're one of the best players. Just me mentioning your name makes Z yawn. Winner of this game was supposed to be going to the playoffs.
Oops.
Steelers, Ravens in Baltimore.
Oops.
19 for 35, 219 yards, a touchdown, an interception. Awful. Trash. That's not the MVP. That's not the great Lamar that we know. What is that? Lamar Jackson, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And last but not least, sticking with the quarterback theme, it's Patrick Mahomes. Last week they lost. This week they're pretty much playing for their playoff life.
Oops.
They only put up 10 points, all in the third quarter. Quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, he had 3 interceptions and 160 yards passing. But he was the leading rusher with 7 carries, 60 yards. It's not a formula for success. I don't know where the Chiefs go from here. Patrick Mahomes, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
I mean, you can't argue with any of those based on this past weekend's performances. Just absolute horseshit. Absolute horseshit all the way around. I'm going to start with Notre Dame football. Snubbed from the college football playoff in favor of 3-loss Alabama, pretty much because they lost to Miami week 1 in August. Now, instead of having pride and just playing and then taking your frustrations out on Southern Miss in the Gasparilla Bowl or wherever the fuck they were going to send you, you decide to take your ball and go home. It's just a bad look. But you're not the only one. 5 other schools have done it too. Now, that's not to say that the players would have played. I understand that. But still, show some pride. Show up. Whoop that ass. And make the committee realize they made a mistake. Instead, you're headed towards a nomination for the Anthony Rendon Bitch of the Week Award. Notre Dame football, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, I gotta go with the Rangers.
Oh.
Back-to-back games, Saturday and Sunday. down against the Avalanche, pull off a massive comeback, major comeback to get to overtime, only to shit the bed in overtime. Rangers lose 2 days in a row. Yeah, I guess the Avalanche. Yeah, I guess the Golden Knights. But snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. That's what this season is going to be about at Madison Square Garden. New York Rangers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, the New York Metropolitans. You let your stud closer go to the Dodgers over a difference of about $3 million. You traded Brandon Nimmo. You're probably going to trade Jeff McNeil. You're going to let Pete Alonso walk. You're not playing in the deep end of the pool here. You're already laying the groundwork for why you can't sign guys like Framber Valdez and Michael King. As if it's Nolan Ryan and Christy fucking Mathewson. No, we can't really. We don't want to play at that end of the. Well, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Like, what's your identity? Milwaukee East isn't going to win you shit. Plain and simple. Milwaukee East isn't going to win you shit. Milwaukee Central doesn't win Milwaukee shit. Best record in the league. What did they win? Ugats is what they won. They won Ugats. Who won? The Dodgers. The Dodgers just got Edwin Diaz. And they're probably going to get more, too. Get your head out of your ass, and if you want to compete, you're going to have to fork over some money. That's the landscape of Major League Baseball. He who has the deepest pockets wins. It's a sad reality. And I don't want to hear about, oh, we're preventing runs. You're certainly not scoring any. You're certainly not fucking scoring any. New York Mets, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.